Listen one more time to the last verse of our lesson. For they contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, her whole living. The Bible is full of references to money. Both the Old and New Testaments are unapologetic about the values associated with money. And Jesus, he too addressed the subject of our money with regularity. In fact, it was his second favorite subject right after the kingdom of God. The story of the widow's mite and Jesus' response to her gift is a story that has been used on stewardship Sundays ever since the first offering plate was passed. It has all of the right dramatic elements. The scene is set beside the treasury of the temple. We see rich people coming in to put their large contributions into the vessel. And we see a poor widow putting in a couple of pennies next to nothing. The story is, I believe, designed to help us understand what God requires of us. That we should give everything we have, even our whole selves, in pursuit of a more noble and just way of living. But you know, I wonder if it isn't kind of an awful story. An awful story, especially for a stewardship Sunday sermon. You know why? Because I hear about her and I feel guilty instead of grateful. I wonder to myself, why isn't she given a name? Why isn't she given an identity? A life story so that I might want to be more like her. Or at least so that I can justify myself why I'm not able to give like she did. I hear about her and I immediately put up my defenses. My whole living? You've got to be kidding. I mean, I give so much already. My time, my talents, most of my life is already involved in service and community. Couldn't I just have a little bit for myself? Why should I have to give my whole living? Like most people, I have issues with money. I have a split attitude, I guess. I worry about it too much, or I don't care enough to keep track of things. One day I feel as if I am one of the rich people in today's lesson. One who gives out of the abundance of a very full purse. But when I first began in ministry, I remember how I felt as poor as a little church mouse on my $6,000 a year I was making. I felt that there would never be enough to go around. I remember in those days I used to scrounge around in the bottom of the recliner looking for coins so I could buy my morning donut. It's not a new thing with me. It's no wonder, I guess, that the story of the poor widow who gave all her all evokes feelings of inadequacy in us. We have it all in this society. And yet we're still conflicted about what to do with our money. I mean, money's important, right? Because it's getting and spending money that occupies such a large part of our daily lives. Just about every married couple I know has issues about money with each other. Whether there's too much or too little. Families have issues with money because time is money. And children and spouses want more time. And sometimes forget that someone has to sacrifice their time to put food on the table. We tend to equate money in this society of ours with success, with status. If we have money, we're better than those who have less money. Money gives us a kind of automatic virtue. In a culture driven by materialism and success, all we have to do is to turn on the radio or the television, and Madison Avenue reminds us every day that if we only had a car with a fine leather interior and a magnificent sound system, or a ram tough truck, that we would be on top of the mountain or king of the road. Money gives us prestige and freedom and security in a society that really worships the almighty dollar. In a minute, we have a complex relationship with money, whether we like it or not. And the widow makes us uncomfortable because we know she didn't have the kind of life or the kind of pressures we had. We have too many obligations and too many needs and desires and responsibilities to give away everything we have. Who's going to put groceries on the table next week, or pay the doctor bills, or put the kids through college? It just isn't sensible. Here in our society, we call people who hoard their possessions as neurotic. But we think it's equally neurotic to give away everything we have. It's countercultural. And I don't think that we as a society, and especially those of us in younger generations, have much wisdom about responsible giving. I mean, what about charity? What about foreign aid? Do we send our money away? Should we lavish our wealth on the starving masses of the world? Are we called to be saints when it comes to money and the needs of the world? Now, one traditional Christian answer has been giving by formula. One-tenth of all we earn, a tithe, belongs to God. Now, this formula may be helpful to some, and you can be assured the trustees will not resist your tithe this stewardship season. But it ultimately, even at that formula, it ultimately misses the point. The story and the meaning of the widow's mite is not about some religious tax, but about generosity and life in the Spirit. What does generosity mean? Well, first, it's not about mathematics. It's not about repaying a debt to God or to the church. It's not about being good. It's not about making a gesture to relieve our sense of guilt for having so much in a world that too much of it has too little. The essence of generosity lies on a totally different axis. Generosity is an eruption from the depth of a thankful spirit, the wellspring of the joy of living. We're most generous when we can't help ourselves. We give because we understand that our life has been given to us with no strings attached. It's not a loan. It's not a debt to repay by being good Christians. The ultimate meaning of generosity is the sharing of the goodness of life that God has given us. Generosity springs from gratitude, from our willingness to be thankful for all that has been given. Where and to whom should gratitude be expressed? Again, here there is no formula. Start with your family, your lover, your mate, your friend, your neighbor, the person who's standing too close to you in line. And not just with those with whom you are intimate. If we love only those who love us, we get no more than a barely passing grade in the school of generosity. The spirit of generosity should spread in ever-widening circles like the ripples of a stone thrown in a pond. Community. Communities like this are places that can be created by generosity. It can be no wider, deeper, or stronger than the quantity of gratitude its members share with each other and with those beyond. Within the Christian community, generosity has a special twist. I mean, we can look the world over in Buddhist communities, in Muslim communities, in Jewish communities, and in many, many secular places. And we will find there are countless random acts of kindness and expressions of compassion. But within the Christian community, the expression of generosity is specifically understood as a spontaneous outpouring of thankfulness. Thankfulness to the God who has created and sustains us at every moment of our lives. I'm lucky because of my position. Every week I see the expression of gratitude and generosity in the life of this church. Every week at this church, healing prayers go forth. Volunteers visit shut-ins and put up bulletin boards and arrange for coffee hours and teach Sunday school and create times of fellowship with each other. If we did these things just to do them, I believe we don't. We do it because we're grateful. We're grateful for each other. We're grateful for the opportunity to care for and to serve each other and the world around us. Grateful to the God who gives us life and breath. Augustine said, "The glory of God is the human being fully alive." What the widow gave wasn't her last penny. It was a gesture of the fullness of her living. I need to tell you that it is within this congregation, within this community, that I experience myself most fully alive every day. Thank God. Thank you. Amen.